I'm so excited to be with you here. My name is Carly, and I'm one of the pastoral apprentices on staff. Woo-woo! All right, I'm just so excited for the vision of this year, which is grow. Jake kicked off this series a couple weeks ago, and he just started us off with how grow leads to overflow. And then Heather took week number two, and she talked about how we need God, and how we need you, and how you need us. And then Levi talked about how we have a responsibility in our growth, but how God is even more faithful than we are responsible. And then Bethany last week talked about how we grow through suffering. And she said that the world says that pain is pointless, but that God brings purpose to our pain. And so tonight we're just going to talk a little bit more about what relational growth looks like. And how we can do that together. I'm so excited for this. So there is a movie called Mean Girls. I'm sure you guys have heard of it. Do any of you know what a mean girl looks like? Well, you're looking at one right here. When I was in seventh grade, this is what a mean girl looked like. Yeah. So I went to two different elementary schools when I grew up, and then I went to seventh grade, and it was at a new school. I was at Rosemont Middle School. Woo-woo! Yeah, and so I was really torn between my friend groups. I had two different friend groups, and I was like, man, I don't want to have to choose who to hang out with. So I just was like, well, I'll just make some new friends. Have any of you guys ever tried to make new friends before? Yeah, it sucks, and it's really, really hard. So there were these seventh grade girls, and guys, I thought they were so cool. I was like, man, I want to be just like them. So I started shaping my behavior and the way that I related to people off of these girls. And even the TV shows I watched had an impact on my life. So I was watching this TV show. It's Before Your Time. It's called Saved by the Bell. Oh, wow. I'm impressed. Anyways, they had a really good punchline, and I was like, man, okay, my new friends already think I'm a little bit funny, but I really just need to be even more funny so that they like me a little bit more, you know? I really want this new friend group to work out. So I thought, man, okay, great. I am going to try this punchline out and see if they like it, see if they think it's funny. So me and my new friend, Catherine, we were walking around, you know, Rosemont's campus at lunch, and I saw these girls that we didn't know, and me and Catherine, we just went up to them. She had no idea what I was doing, by the way. And so I walked up to them, and I was like, hi, guys. My name is Carly. It's so nice to meet you. I just wanted to let you know, I love that shirt you're wearing. It's so cute. I actually used to have that shirt, but then my mom got a job. Guys, I told you, I was a mean girl. Yeah, and if we go, yeah, and guys, I can tell you right now, that's not even the end of the story. That's not it. And I was not saved by the bell, I'll tell you that much. I was actually pushed down the stairs. And then one of the yard duty teachers saw, and so she came up to me and was like, can I take you to the office? We really should tell somebody. She had no idea what I said to them, and I was like, yeah, we can. That'd be great. So I was all self-righteous, and I went up, and I was like, these girls push me, and I don't even know why. So since I didn't know these girls, they had me flip through the yearbook, and they were eighth graders. They were a little bit older than me. And I had to pick them out face by face. Oh, yeah, guys, I picked out all five girls, and all of them were suspended. I mean, I know, isn't that terrible? And if we go back to my original idea on how to make friends, guys, what made me think that was going to help me make friends? That was a terrible idea. Man, this story is such a reminder of how my sinful nature gets the me nowhere fast, like super fast, and how the world does relationships actually leads to broken relationships. But in Christ, when we grow relationally according to how God asks us to, it leads to friendships that honor God. And I'd say that I couldn't believe that I said those things, but the truth is that apart from God, I'm capable of hurting people. How many of you have ever experienced what you're capable apart from God? Yeah, not great. So tonight we're going to talk about relationships with God and how relational growth produces relational fruit. But before we do, will you just bow your heads and pray with me? God, I just thank you so much for this night. I thank you that you are so not like us, God. I thank you that you are just a God that redeems and restores. And I just pray that tonight that you'll speak through me, Lord. I pray that our eyes and our ears will be open to receive what you have for us tonight, Lord. Thank you for this night. Thank you for this time. Amen. All right, so grab your sheets out from under your chairs if you already haven't. The point number one is relational growth means that our relationships are modeled after Christ and not the world. So you can go ahead and fill in those blanks. Relational growth means that our relationships are modeled after Christ and not the world. The world says that you're cool when you tear people down, but relationships modeled after Christ actually show us that we are at our very, very best when we're raising people up, when we're encouraging people. John 15:5 says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. When we follow Christ and not the world, we choose that because we're followers of Christ so that we can look more like him, so that we can follow God's example. And when you look at your life, when you look at the lives of the people around you, do you look any different than they do? Do you look different than the world looks? Why is it important that we are image bearers or followers of Christ? And Matthew 12:33 says this, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. And we're not talking about like oranges and apples and stuff. I mean, they're great. Or grapes. But have you ever taken a grape out of like the bag and you're like, oh man, this is not what I thought it was going to taste like. So then you go back in and you grab another one and you're like, oh, this one sucks too. It doesn't taste good at all. And you're like, oh man, this whole bag of fruit is bad. I mean, we're kind of talking about that, but not really. So producing fruitfulness is this, producing good or helpful results, being productive. So basically being fruitful in Christ is that there's visible growth in Jesus Christ in our lives. That's the fruitfulness that we're talking about. Guys, back to that verse, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. I don't want to be a bad tree with bad fruit. I don't want to be a bad grape. I want to be a follower of Christ that bears good fruit. If apart from God, if apart from Jesus, I can do nothing, shoot. I need to know how to do relationships God's way. Guys, I told you, I was a mean girl in seventh grade. That's what I was doing, living life apart from Christ. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to bear bad fruit. And the thing is, I mean, this would be really cool, but God doesn't just walk around and say, do you see these scars on my hands? Look what I did for you. He doesn't do that. That would be really cool. No. Guys, you are God's game plan. You are God's game plan through Jesus Christ, giving us his Holy Spirit to take his message of the good news to the ends of the earth. If we are image bearers or Christ followers, we have to act and look different than people who don't follow Jesus do. Yeah, if we were made to reflect and bear the image of Christ, we were created to reflect him. And we reflect him by knowing him and by being in relationship with God. We have to do friendships differently. We have to do marriages and relationships differently. And we have to live differently. The world isn't concerned about a loving Jesus when the Jesus followers don't love people well. The world isn't concerned about a loving Jesus when the Jesus followers don't love people well. Yeah. If we believe that Jesus Christ came to restore us and that he heals us and that he has our best interest in mind, don't we want others to believe that? Don't we want others to believe that the church is a place that brings restoration and healing and freedom? What do you want to look like? And whose do you want to look like? We need to start spending more time with Jesus so that we can allow the truth of his word to overflow from within us to the outside of us. We want to internalize his truth. We need God's truth so that we can live in a way that models the love of Jesus Christ to the people around us. To be not of this world, you have to act like you're not of this world. And to be more like Jesus, we need to act more like Jesus. And to act more like Jesus, we've got to spend more time with Jesus. The result of grow is overflow. And if relational growth means that our relationships are modeled after Christ and not the world, how can we start practicing that? Which brings me to my point number two. Fruitfulness requires pruning. Fruitfulness requires pruning. So I was babysitting last week. I think the kids are 4, 5, and 2. And I knew I had this talk, so I was trying to prepare for it. And I was like, man, I can ask them what's so hard about growing up. Or just growing. And so the youngest, his name is Luke. He's adorable, by the way. He was like, man, growing up takes a really, really, really long time. And I was like, oh, man, it does. You're right. Adulting is the worst. And then the two younger ones just kind of mimicked him. And they were like, it takes forever. Anyways, that kind of got me thinking that growth doesn't just happen all at once. It takes small steps of faithfulness that lead to growth. It's itty-bitty decisions that lead us to growth because fruitfulness requires pruning. And John 15, 1 through 2 says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Man, pruning. So the definition of pruning is this, and we're talking about trees in this definition, but you guys can make it about your lives. So it's to trim a tree or a shrub or a bush by cutting away dead or overgrown branches or stems, especially to increase fruitfulness or growth. So pruning is actually a necessity to grow. So how do we do it? How do I bear more fruit? How do you bear more fruit? Well, we got to prune our minds. We got to start with our minds. And Romans 12, 2 says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we want to start somewhere, we got to start with what we think, because it's the decisions that we make ahead of time that are going to inform us of how we respond in the meantime. And I mean, guys, it's a pretty simple concept. What goes in is what comes out. I mean, we've all had Mexican food before. beans, the magical fruit, you know the song. What goes in is what comes out. You're welcome. Just wanted to paint a picture for y'all. Man, or if you're like me, when you watch TV shows like Saved by the Bell and you try to act like them, that's what comes out. Guys, not a good way to make friends. What goes in is what comes out. How are you transforming your minds and preparing your hearts so that you can grow and do your friendships and relationships God's way? And you might be like, transform your mind. Yeah, I get what you're saying, but like how? Well, I'm glad you asked. We got to prune hate and revenge. Romans 12, 14 says this, pray and give thanks for those who make trouble for you. Pray for them instead of talking against them. Oh, man. Guys, I hate that. It's so easy to want to respond out of frustration and to want to do wrong for wrong. Guys, that's the way of the world, though. But God is saying that that's not what we do. We have to respond in grace. If you just love people who love you well, that's not actually a way to do love outside of what the world is already doing. It's easy to love people that love you, but what about your enemies? What about the people that talk bad about you? What about the people that don't have your best interest in mind or that are super jealous? Man, it's hard to love those people, but God calls us to pray for them. And it's not even actually just about praying for them, but what happens when we do pray for them is that God starts changing our hearts towards them. And we get to say, God, I cannot do this on my own. I'm handing you this because I don't know what to do. I want to respond in a way that is not honoring to you. But God, I trust you more. So help me respond with wisdom and grace. Help me be more like Jesus. And the next is this. Do not take revenge. Ugh. Same thing. Dang it. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. I actually took a second look at this because I was like, does that mean that God's going to take revenge? I will pay them back, says the Lord. Oh my gosh. That's got to be way better than whatever I had in mind. This is not actually how the world operates. Like I just said, it's so easy to want to respond out of anger in a way that brings harm or is just unkind. And we really, really need God's grace to change our hearts. Can you think of a time where you responded out of anger and not grace? Or can you think of a time where somebody lashed out in anger instead of grace and how that impacted you? Let's be people who bring grace. Let's be people who believe the best about others, even when they mean harm. It matters because we have to treat people differently than the world does. When you prune hate and revenge, you actually create relational safety instead of harboring bitterness, and that frees us to love imperfect people, which is really good news because I'm imperfect and I need the grace. The next is this, prune gossip and slander. Man, CA students, some of us really need to just make a vow to just stop. Man, and it's probably one of the easiest go-tos. It's probably easy just to be like, oh yeah, that person, oh my gosh, they're so annoying. Or it's so easy to go along with or to nod silently and to agree silently. Or it's easy to try and make a joke, but at the expense of someone else's feelings, at the expense of someone else. Gosh, I'm telling you right now, this is actually what separates people. This is what works as a force to ruin and break relationships. Gossip takes from us and it takes from others and it twists and it distorts the truth. And then we start to believe things about people and then we spread these things and we become part of a movement that Jesus was so against. And we become part of the way of sin instead of becoming more and more like Jesus. Man, let's not be like the world. Let's be people who fight for loving others well. And sometimes that requires us to be bold and to stand up for people that we don't even know and to say, man, I don't want to talk bad about this person. We don't even know them. Like, can we just try and say something nice? It takes a bold step on our part, but I swear, I know that God is like, man, that's my kid right there. That's my kid. Guys, I was part of this Guatemala team. There were 21 of us that were on the team this summer. Yeah, love it. This was a team, I'm not even kidding. My mind was blown away at the culture of encouragement that you guys set. Levi was telling us this story of how, so basically we built a couple houses and we all had different teams. Levi headed up a team and they had all these cinder blocks, like truckloads of cinder blocks. And they had this really steep hill that they had to get up to, but they couldn't drive the trucks. So the only way to get the cinder blocks up the hill was to carry them. And Levi just told us this story of how they decided to have positude, which is a positive attitude. So they came up with this word. So we were just saying positude all weekend or all week. And so they carried these cinder blocks up and down and up and down, and then there was another truckload brought. And Levi said that there was someone who just turned and was like, only 859 trips more to go, we got this. Guys, what an amazing picture of what it looks like to set an atmosphere that encourages. Man, can you believe if they were just whining and like just miserable and like, ugh, I don't wanna do this. That's awful. Guys, don't give authority to sin. Don't give the enemy a chance to sneak in. Don't let him ruin your relationships. Don't let jealousy sink into your hearts and take over. We need to be a people that celebrate and rejoice with our community. We need to be encouragers that create an environment of safety, that raise people up and say, sorry, world, I'm not like you. I'm a Jesus follower, and I'm going to continue to lift the people around me up because that's what God does for me. Even when I fall, he lifts me up. When we prune gossip and slander, we create relational space for trust and for relationships that last. Nobody wants to be friends with someone that gossips about them all the time. I'm going to invite Eden up right now. Guys, how does freedom from these things cause us to grow in God? Well, when we prune hate and revenge and gossip and slander, we have freedom from the world's way of life, which allows us to operate in freedom that God has created us to be, in healthy relationships with people. And it frees us to believe the best about other people. It frees us to live out of the overflow of truth that God gives us. It allows us to be a reflection of God. By blessing our enemies and praying for them, it frees us from bitterness and anger, and it allows God's truth to work inside of us. And freedom from gossip and slander allows us to cultivate friendships that we can trust and friends that we can rely on. It allows us to be free from the world's version of what is cool. And it allows us to look more and more like Jesus. And I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes right now. I'm just going to lead you in a time of quiet reflection. Aiden is going to play. And I just ask that you guys prayerfully reflect on some of these questions that I have for you. What relationships need pruning and refining in your life so that they can model Christ and not the world? What area of your relationships and friendships do you need to examine and ask God for help? Ask him for help right now. What areas of your life do you need God to reconstruct and make new? What branches do you need God to prune and trim so that they can bear fruit? God's word said this: I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Man, let's ask God to remain in us. Let's try and remain in God. Aiden's going to lead us in worship right now. And there's going to be leaders just scattered around the room. So if your heart feels stirred to ask for prayer related tonight, or if it's something else, we would love to pray for you. Or if you have a victory that you want to celebrate with you, we'd love to celebrate with you too.